Let the church say amen. Amen. God has been good to us once again. Amen. He has allowed all of us, each and every one of us in here, to get by this past week and be able to come out and serve him again in spirit and in truth this morning. Thank God for his gracious and his goodness to us or toward us. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Hebrews, the 9th chapter and the 22nd verse. And I'll reread it, and it says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without shedding of blood is no remission. So let us remember to thank God for how well he has treated us and how good we are doing because of him. This morning, before we go any further, our subject this morning will be power in the blood. But before we go into that, let us bow and pray. Thank you, O righteous Heavenly Father, for the power of your blood. Thank you this morning that you have blessed us and kept us here once again that we may be able to come out to serve thee, O Lord. Thank you this morning for each and every member who has come out this morning, and we pray for them and their families. We pray for the leaders and their families. We pray for all the brethren and their families, especially those who have worked thus far to make these services go in the right direction, O Lord. Thank you this morning, Father, for those who are sick, and we pray that if it be thy will, that you would give them a healing touch. But if not, Father, give us all strength to bear whatever your will might be. Thank you this morning, Father, for the little children, and thank you for those who are raising those little children. And Father, we know that our streets are in a bloodbath, and we're just asking you that if it be your will, O Lord, that you would take charge as you are. We already know you are in charge, but we're asking you, Lord, that if you would take charge and bring safety back to our neighborhoods. Thanking you right now, Heavenly Father, and in the name of your Son Jesus, the one who mounted the cross, went up on Calvary's hill, and died on our behalf. We thank you, O Lord, and it's in his name we ask all of these and many other blessings. Amen. Amen. As I said, the title is Power in the Blood, and Christians know that Jesus has done much more for them than they will ever be able to repay him for. Thank God he has not asked us for anything but obedience. That's all that God asks us for. As we go through this life, we have learned that the road is not always smooth and straight. We find it has a few curves that we must round, a few hills that we must climb, and yes, a few storms that we must navigate. We have come to know that our help cometh from the Lord. We know that there are no curves he can't get us around, no hills he can't get us over, and certainly no storm that he can't get us to pass through. We know that he has the power, and we know that it is in his blood, and he has already proven that to us. We know that his blood is perfect, pure, and indestructible. And for this, we are so indebted. We know this through the Bible, for we read about it in his word. We even sing about it. And we even know that through his word, we have learned that his blood was shed for our salvation. Salvation is deliverance from where we were, which was in sin, into his marvelous light. Therefore, his blood is very, very powerful. It has the power of salvation. My blood, neither your blood, nor anyone else's blood could have brought us what God's blood has brought us. In Acts, the 4th chapter, in around verse number 12, the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other than name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." We cannot be saved except by Jesus Christ. And if Christ did not and cannot save us, then we're all forever unsaved. We don't have salvation to give, and I most certainly can't give it to you. Only by one name can we find this safety. And it is in the name of the great one. The name is great in heaven as well as on this earth. That name is Jesus Christ. In Romans 1 and verse number 16, the Bible tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of its power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There's never a good reason that one should be ashamed of that which can and that which has already done for us what no other can do for us. If one says he believes but is ashamed to pose I pose the question today, is that one ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Or I say, is that one ashamed to be associated with Jesus Christ? One ashamed of the gospel of Christ must also be one who's ashamed to stand up for Jesus himself. I say ashamed of the fact that our God died on a tree. He died on a tree, shed his all-powerful blood, gave his life a ransom for many. Or perhaps they are ashamed of the gospel is now available. The gospel is now available to both Jew and Gentile. Now I realize that there are many things in this life that one can be ashamed of. Some are ashamed of their mates. Some are ashamed of their children. But we all should be ashamed at the deterioration of society as a whole today. But we should never be ashamed of Jesus Christ. For he is the one that we should always stand up for, the one that we should always be able to say, I stand up for Christ, and I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a believer that the Lord's blood has the power to save me, and I know that the Lord's blood has already saved me. God who saved us, and there is no shame in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I pose to you this morning, without the power of his blood, where would we be this morning? Where would we be if it were not for the blood of Christ? And where would we be this morning if Jesus had not come down into this world to save us? His blood has the power of peace as well. Now, peace is a wonderful thing. And I don't mean the peace from this world. I'm speaking of the peace of mind that one gets when he is able to take everything to God in prayer. When you think about it, when you have problems in your life, and they can be simple problems, but sometimes you just can't handle even the simple problems. You need to be able to have somebody you can take it to. When men and women and husbands and wives get to having their disagreements, you need to be able to take it to somebody rather than explode and go off and do something that you wouldn't normally do. Men, when your wife has nagged you about putting time in to do things around the house, your peace comes when you complete the job. But that's not the kind of peace I'm talking about. The peace I speak of is in the form of the Word of God. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20, the Bible says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, his blood, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. When you think about it, and you look at verse number 21, it even goes a little further. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled. God has reconciled all of us. And that word reconcile means no more than putting things in order, if you will, church. I've used this example before, so I'll use it again. If you take out your checkbook and you write a check to someone in your checkbook, and you don't have money in your account, guess what? That check is going to do what? It's going to be like rubber. It's going to bounce. And if that check bounces, then you've got not only to pay the bill that you were going to pay or whatever you were going to pay, but you have to go home, sit down, and reconcile your checkbook with the checks that you have written. You have to be able to bring them all together. You have to go over your statements and make it right. And that's what reconciliation means. That's what the power of his blood has done for us. He has made when we were wrong, he has made us right. Yet many of us keep trying to wrong the right that Christ has already done for us. When you think about it, church, when you look at the matter, people that don't know God, they don't understand this concept. The Bible speaks to men and speaks to all of us. In Isaiah chapter 57, around verse number 20. Go over with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 57, around verse number 20, if you will. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse number 20. The Bible says, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast of mire and dirt. There is no peace to the wicked, God says. In other words, the wicked will never have peace until they reconcile themselves and come to God. And if one wants peace, he must come or return to the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4 and the verses number 7, the Bible says, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now, when you think about that, church, when you think about the matter, when you look at our text for today in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number chapter 9 and verse number 22, the Bible says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. In other words, in Ephesians chapter 4, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 22, the Bible tells us that there must have been blood, or there must be blood shed, in order that we are remiss for our sin. We are brought in to reconciliation. And God, Jesus Christ, provided that blood for us. And when you look at the matter and you think about the matter, if your blood was powerful enough to do what the blood of Christ has done for us, what would you do? I'm not going to try to answer that question, but I just want to know, I want you to think about it. If you had the power in your blood, what would you do with that power that's in your blood? Would you save the world like Jesus did, or what would you do? Think on that, if you will. Then when you think about it, when you think about what Paul was writing then, what he was saying when he spoke to us, the only way for us to have this peace is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So the blood can bring us peace. There's power in the blood this morning. There is so much power, and I appreciate the song leader as he sang that song. There's power in the blood, because there certainly is power in the blood. There is power in the wondrous. There's wondrous working power in the blood of Jesus Christ. So not only is there power of peace in the blood of Jesus Christ, but the blood has the power to save. And somebody might say, well, save us from what? Well, save us from our own selves. It is not in the power of man to save each, nor is it in his power to save another. It's not in his power to save himself, nor in his power to save another. It is only through Jesus' death and the shedding of his blood that we have the opportunity to be saved. And I want you, if you will, to go over to Romans chapter 5. In the verses number 8 and verse number 9. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and verse number 9. Look what the Bible says. Romans 5, verse 8 and verse 9. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In other words, that's showing the power, once again, of the blood of Christ. God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. Isn't that a wonderful thing, church, to know that God provided everything and all the power that we need to be saved? And you know what? Some folk don't appreciate it. Some folk don't appreciate the power that's in the blood of Christ. And I know that many of us, we're not like that. Are we, church? No answer. Well, that maybe I'm wrong. But what I'm trying to say is that we as Christians, we know better. We, at least we should know better. We should know that there is power in the blood. We should understand that there is power in the blood. What kind of power is in his blood? Well, there's the power to justify us, the power to sanctify us, the power to bring us hope And somebody might ask, well, what kind of hope, preacher, will the blood bring us? Hope of seeing his face in peace. Hope of going home to be with him. Hope that's full of tomorrows. Hope that we won't be sent off to face the everlasting fire. Knowing these things, that should give us enough hope right there. But God has done more than just give us this hope. He has saved us, church. We are washed. We are sanctified according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verses number 11. We are washed. We are sanctified. We are justified in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. One drop. Think about this. One drop of the blood of Jesus is more powerful than all the 5 or 5.5 quarts that's in the human body. When you think about it, all the blood that you have will not equate to one drop of the blood of Christ. If it were not for the power of the blood of Christ, would we be here this morning? If it were not for the power of the blood of Christ, where would we be? And some of us still don't get it. Some of us are still thinking that I'm on my own in this world. I don't need God in this life. And you know, every time you hear some family that's going through death in their family, you learn that the grieving process is something else. God has given us a process that we all must go, we all must follow. We're all going to die. And as I told you before, it took me a long time and a hard way to realize that. But we are all going to die one day. And the only thing that matters after death is how you get up. Now, if you want to make your calling and election sure, you would learn to connect yourself with the power that's in the blood of Christ. You would learn to connect yourself with Jesus himself. How do I connect with Jesus? Well, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to be baptized. And you have to be obedient to his will. There's power in the blood this morning. And that power can help us all to see life a little different. If it were not for the blood of Christ, we would not have available to us today a Savior to call upon. If it were not for the power of the blood, we would not be, as in Titus 2 and verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Church, I propose this morning that if you have not made contact with Jesus, you ought to make contact this morning. Now, I didn't plan a long, drawn-out sermon this morning. I plan to be pretty short this morning, but I just want you to understand that there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power throughout the body of Jesus Christ. But most of all, we have to connect with that power through Jesus Christ. And what better way can I say it than what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verse number 2. It says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today anyone can make contact with the blood of Christ through the watery grave of baptism. Somebody say, well, some folks say, I should say, I'm going to wait until the fifth Sunday. You know, traditionally, some folks, some religions say we do baptisms on the fifth Sunday. And we do it only on the fifth Sunday. But my question to them is, what if I don't make it until the fifth Sunday? How can I connect with the blood if you delay me in connecting with the blood? When I think about Hebrews 9 and verse 22 again, it says that all remission is by the shedding of the blood. And so there's power in the blood this morning. There's power in the blood, and it's offering you to come if you will. And somebody said, well, preacher, I don't understand this thing about the power of the blood. Well, I'm going to try to do it just a short explanation for you, if I can. If it were not again for the power, where would you be? And then this blood that runs through our bodies today, it would be nothing compared to the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, this blood that runs through our veins is not the same as the blood that runs through Jesus Christ, because our blood has no power. Oh, I can pick up a loaf of bread if that's what you're talking about in power. But that's not what I mean. I'm talking about the power to offer salvation to someone else. Now, I can suggest to someone else, why don't you come to church and we'll teach you the ways to heaven? Why don't you come to church and learn what thus saith the Lord? But the power that's in my blood, and I'll tell you, I'll just be honest with you, I need every drop that's in my body, so I probably wouldn't want to share it for anybody. I need every drop of blood that's in my body that runs through my veins. But Jesus gave up his blood on yonder's cross. Somebody said, well, they stuck him in his side, and out of his side came blood and water. And that was for the church of Christ, and that was for the saving of the people. So there's power in his blood, and there's power if you connect with it, with the blood. And so somebody may ask the question once again this morning. I've heard them talking about this power in this blood. I've heard them say that there is power in the blood. I've heard them to say that I need to connect with my Savior Jesus Christ. Well, if you're standing on the outside of Christ, you're standing in a dangerous position. You are standing on your own. You are standing by yourself. But I want to be able, when I pass from this life into my death, I want to be able to know that somebody is going to be there with me. Somebody is going to be there for me. Somebody is going to be there that I may meet in peace. And if you want to meet him in peace, church, you've got to meet him down here first. You've got to meet him here first before you can meet him in peace in the judgment. How do I meet him here, preacher? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And so many folk have a problem with being baptized. They say things like, I got baptized when I was 8 years old. Do I have to get baptized again? Well, what were you baptized in when you were 8? Did you really know the reason you were baptized? Did you really know that you were connecting with the blood of Christ when you were baptized? Did you do it for the remission of sin, or did you do it because your mama kind of tapped you on and pushed you on? You need to ask yourself those questions. Then if you can't give a definitive answer that you were baptized for the remission of sin, then yes, you do need to be baptized all over. You need to be baptized really for the first time if you were not baptized for the right reason in the first place. And then if you are already a member, you've already connected with the blood of Christ, but now you want to reconnect yourself with Christ because you have went astray. You have walked aimlessly without any direction, without any connection with Christ. You went off the beaten path, in other words. What do I do? Well, you ask God to forgive you. Come before the church and stand up before the church and do not be ashamed. And tell the church, ask the Lord first to forgive you, tell the church you need them to pray for you that you may grow stronger. And somebody always has the position that, I don't want the church to know what I've been doing. Well, I didn't say you have to tell the church what you've been doing. I tell you one thing, I bet every one of us here has something in his pocket that he or she doesn't want somebody else to know about. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about letting the Lord know. You don't have to tell me. I can't do nothing for you. I can only give you a little guidance. But the Lord can give you safety and shelter. The Lord can give you salvation, and he can give you peace, and he can give you hope. All you need to do is come to him. And I say today is a better day than ever before to come to him. If you've never been to him, or if you need to come back to him, today is the best day. Now is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Why be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? And why not connect with the power that's in the blood. If we all together, as we all together now stand and sing the song of invitation. 500.